Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And you are going to enjoy this one, my friends. Doug, Nori, and myself are back setting the off-season table for the Brooklyn Nets. As you head into a holiday weekend, go ahead and sit back as we break down why, from the superstar talent all the way down to the last man on the roster, there is a storyline, there is a contract, and there's the potential for different avenues to improve this team as we gear right back up for the draft and another championship run next season. It all starts by understanding what moves are we going to potentially have to make and what financial ramifications do we need to consider. Let's dive in. Let's get into the nitty-gritty and the numbers of it all right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day, rolling here through the summer. I'm Doug Nori, the owner-operator of DFSR.com. If you need any projection for FanDuel or DraftKings, head on over to DFSR.com. Got you covered as we roll through baseball. A couple basketball slates left, but mostly baseball season over there. And that is Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, also the host of the One Giant podcast, where they are gearing up for New York football Giants with his boy Andy Mack. Buddy, how are we doing on a rainy Friday heading into a holiday weekend?
Well, listen, you and I are actually going to be in the same space later today on a Friday, which is great to be able
lucky
to get together with family.
Yeah. You're blessed.
Lucky as I am to be in Doug's presence. I mean, this is the roll of the dice. Sometimes it just comes up and you win. You win big. But we're going to get into our basically setting up the preview for the season for the Brooklyn Nets. But I will say, just in the conversation we were having about the playoffs and what things look like, you got to acknowledge that was it nearly as good as if you had Giannis out there and Trae Young? Maybe not. But last night, you got to see, if you're a Nets fan, Brooke Lopez put on a bit of a show. You got to see Bobby Portis step up and ignite the crowd. Like, I think these are some of the fun things that I would, you know, those are the fun threads that I was pulling on when you talk about, can these playoffs still be good when you don't have stars? And is it, listen, it's never as good as the product could be, but there's still a lot of excitement, still a lot of fun watching these playoff runs.
I think you meant to say Eastern Conference Final MVP Bobby Portis.
Is that? I think, yes, I did. I misspoke. I did.
Yeah, that game was exciting for sure. I mean, a ton of points, not a single lick of defense played. So I'm not complaining about that. You'd rather see that than the 84-81 Suns game against the Clippers for sure.
That's not one of my examples of quality basketball. That wasn't one of the ones I was
That was an exciting. It was definitely an exciting game to watch. It was just I'd still always vote for the superstars. I do want to say that after that, we're going to get into some Nets, offseason stuff here in a second. I will say that after our podcast the other day, the day after Giannis got hurt, and we were kind of lamenting the season, and we, just talked about how sort of the quality of basketball and the overall ranking of where this next champion would be. I did do a quick podcast round, just through some basketball ish podcast that I listened to, and it was funny. Nearly everyone talked about the same thing that next day. Like it was definitely the theme. It was the theme of at least three podcasts that I listened to. And do my research, buddy. Go and listen to what the rivals are doing. But everyone,
see how much of our material sort of, they're stealing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone kind of records in the same window, right? Like, that's just kind of how podcasting is. And so it was funny to listen to the overlap in sort of how people were evaluating the situation specifically after Giannis got hurt. So, but luckily, no structural damage there. So, hopefully, he's able to come back. And it looks like the Bucks are going to go to the finals. That would be my guess. Okay, so today we wanted to prime up for what's going to happen next week and maybe spill into the following week, which is when we're going to really start deep diving into this Nets offseason. Because the Nets, for as much as the stability that we talked about, I didn't do the word count on how many times we mentioned stability the other day in the podcast, but it was more than 5, less than 15, I would say, somewhere like that. For as much as we talked about that and how they don't seem to have tons of question marks. When you actually look at the list, this is an offseason of actually kind of maybe only question marks. Now, some of the question marks are different, and some have timelines and horizons that are different from each other, but the questions themselves are no less important. So we're going to spend at least all of next week, and like I said, it might go more. It might end up being 2 weeks worth of off-season previewing and thinking about what the Nets need to do here and what needs to kind of happen around every single player on the roster, because that's kind of the situation they're in. And this is every basketball team's like this in some way, but there's going to be questions and about every single guy, and there's going to be cascading effects around every single decision they make, starting with the big guys. So we wanted to kind of set the table today and start to look at what these questions that we're going to be exploring are, because each one is going to require kind of a deep dive. Did I do that good enough? Where you're kind of talking about how to set this up, but you know, in the old don't mind asking you a question to see if I did a good enough job here. Does that sort of sum up here what we're doing today?
No, 100%. Because you mentioned that the word that we won't mention any more than once on this episode over the last couple of days. It's interesting when you start with, let's go with the big three, right? Even though when you look at this roster, you think, well, you have the superstars. Those guys are locked in, and they are for next season. But those three players in Durant, Harden, and Irving are also up for extensions. And to your point about cascading effects as we work through this list and the players and the different circumstances they're in, well, if you can extend the superstars, you may be able to adjust what their cap hits look like. And if you can adjust their numbers a little bit, maybe it affords you the ability to bring back a player or pursue a player in free agency potentially. So even though the Nets don't have to worry about doing something with the stars this offseason, it can impact a lot of different areas of what else they try to accomplish.
Yeah, for sure. This is going to be the first question they ask, and it's going to be the first question we go through as well, is where we stand on the big three, where we stand on their money, where we being the Nets, where the Nets stand on the money.
Where
and
I
the
stand on their money.
It's going to say a lot about the future commitments. I think it's going to say, and we'll talk about this, it's going to say a lot about, you know, the how good of a team it looks like other free agents might be walking into, and how comfortable they can feel about signing maybe, you know, good team friendly deals going into a team that you know has these three for, you know, extended period of time beyond just next season or the season after. Like, these extensions are really, really important for the Nets. They're the most important thing. Everything else is secondary. I know Nets fans want to talk about the free agents. We're going to talk about every single guy here in a second, just briefly, and we're going to go through every single guy. But it really does just start here with what the Nets end up doing with these guys, because it will then send a signal to everybody else. It'll cement or not cement what the moving forward plan is. It'll see how tied to each other these guys are. Like, this is crazy. This is an incredible. It's crazy to have the three superstars like this on the same contract timeline for a team in a superstar league where they're already together. Like, in some ways, it's an incredible advantage for the Nets, and in some ways, it's going to be a little bit of a tightrope also. So we'll start there next week with the big three, the contract stuff, what we think can happen, what if we think it will mean for the rest of the team, and then we're going to move on. We're going to roll through some of these other guys and the question marks we have, because literally there's a question mark about really every single guy on the roster. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Look, if you're betting on basketball right now for next season, you got to bet on the Brooklyn Nets. We're going to talk about off-season question marks, but as soon as Bet Online has those NBA futures up there, I think we're going to see a number that says Nets are the favorite for the NBA championship next season. Just one of the many bets you can get on Bet Online. They have odds, over-unders, every single thing you can imagine. Baseball's over there in full swing. You want to get in on a run line, a money line. It's all there on Bet Online. Before the next pitch, before the next tip, you can still get action on the NBA playoffs. Head on over to Bet Online and check out all of the great offerings. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to get into the game. As teams run through the playoffs or roll through the regular season in baseball, head on over to the website and sign up. It's totally free, but when you want to make a deposit, and you're going to want to use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
And of course, today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoff coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. At 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. And I'm predicting that the Brooklyn Nets have an exciting offseason. We'll delve into it next week, obviously. But I think there's going to be shiftable parts here. And one of the things, as we get beyond the big three and the superstars, I think the first name, and we mentioned him a little bit as the playoffs were winding down in a different regard, because he was finally cleared to be able to play basketball, and that was Spencer Dinwiddie. He is the, I think, obvious and biggest next name up on the Nets roster, because his circumstance will not only impact what we think about the team were he to be a part of it, but also if he departs, there's going to be multiple scenarios where the Nets can still get value back on him.
Yep, we're going to spend an entire episode on Spencer Dinwiddie. This is the next key piece of where the Nets need to try to figure out what's going on, and either when it comes to re-signing him or probably much more likely signing and trading him. His name is already being bandied about from other teams that are looking to upgrade this position. That's a good thing for the Nets. It's a bad thing for wanting to re-sign him, obviously. It's a good thing from an asset point of view. But there's lots of different scenarios that can happen with Spencer Dinwiddie, who has already opted out of his contract for his player option for next season, which was $12 million, well, 12.3 specifically. And this was the next one. Like, actually, in terms of like the AAB for just next season, this is actually the biggest one. So I mentioned that the big three is being the most important high level decision for the Nets. But in terms of 21-22, the Spencer Dinwiddie piece is clearly the next most important piece, because this is the best chance. It's crazy to think that Spencer Dinwiddie is actually like a value for the net, an asset, excuse me, for the Nets right now, because of just the way the NBA works with sign-in trades. So this is the one that the Nets fans are going to really have all eyes on, is to what can maybe possibly, not definitely, but possibly come back in a Spencer Dinwiddie most likely sign-in trade. We'll talk about whether or not he's worth it at the number for the Nets. We saw this season around the injuries. There's a case to be made around that. So we'll talk about that, and it's just going to be whether the money fits. But yes, agreed. The next piece that's most relevant for next season that we'll talk about at length is Spencer Dinwiddie and where we stand with his player option and potentially a sign-in trade.
Yeah, and it's good. So we'll dive in on that. But the immediate thing, I think, when you talk about this season from who we saw on the court, obviously Dinwiddie with his injury, the next two guys, and I think in the hierarchy, almost surprising, Blake Griffin. It's surprising that he's going to be a guy that we'll dive in on. He's going to be unrestricted free agent, non-bird rights. What that looks like for the Nets is going to feel very different than it did when we got him, off of being bought out by the Detroit Pistons. I think the perception of him changed, certainly when he came over to Brooklyn. We talked about that. But again, is he the answer at this position? And when you look at the landscape of the NBA and free agency, what are going to be some of the other teams and other... Because, by the way, all other rosters around the league are doing the same type of math as they move into the offseason. So is there going to be a replacement player out there that improves the Nets or shifts the dynamic of what their team is on one end of the floor or the other? Blake Griffin, as I said during the year, he brought a lot of that kind of grittiness that Nets fans have probably loved pre-superstars, and I wonder what level of importance the Nets will put on him. But he's second-tier importance, maybe. It's at least second-tier interesting, because if he is or is not back will determine what the Nets more aggressively will need to pursue.
Yeah, he's going to – I don't think 2 months ago we would have been having this Blake Griffin conversation, but what he did in the playoffs and what he was able to do for this team and how important he was and sort of the rejuvenation of his career, or at least the late stages of his career, this new iteration of what he became, which was completely different than what he was with the Clippers, and, I mean, so different than what he was with the Pistons. He just became like sort of a grit and grind kind of guy, and – it's going to be interesting to see where value, how the Nets view that and how other teams value that as well. Like that's one that I think I'm going to have the most question marks around when we talk about him at length, because I am just not, like, I need to think a little harder on this one, because there's a gut part of me that has one reaction to this. And there's a more sensible part of me, I think, that has a totally different reaction. Right. And I think that's one that I'm that's one for sure that I'm planning on sitting with over the next few days and like really looking at the landscape and the, you know, functional replacements and like what he brought and all this stuff and like thinking about a an 82 game season, because remember he did not play a full season last year, far from it. So, you know, what factoring all that stuff in, like what really the Blake Griffin thing means. The next two guys that, and again, I can't keep saying this, but question mark about every single guy. I hate to say there's a question mark about this guy, but we're going to talk at length about Joe Harris. I think the conversation has to be had. It's being had among Nets fans right now. It's like Joe Harris's future with the team. I mean, clearly the money piece is means he's locked in for the future, but he's coming off he really struggled in the playoffs, no doubt about it. Yep. And it has to be discussed. We're the biggest Joe Harris stands in the world, and you know, we died on the ship all the way down to game seven. So we went down with it, with the band playing while it sank into the ocean. But
got to the bottom of the ocean and kept on digging.
It was gorgeous down there. Yeah, it was, a little cold, but absolutely gorgeous. We have to talk about it, and we have to talk about what the possibility of, if they were to decide to move on, is the value there still? Is it still, you know, around the league? Is there something to be had for Joe Harris on this contract that he has? I think there is, but that's going to be an interesting one too, as we sit down and talk and say, hey, you know, what does Joe Harris's future on the Brooklyn Nets look like? I think most likely it looks like he's there, but after this year, you have to. There's at least a question mark now, right? I don't think there probably was. And is there a chance that we look at that and say, you know, that was an overpay or something like that? Maybe. But after the playoff performance, it has to be discussed at length.
Yeah. And I think, again, going into last offseason, we thought, you know, overpay or not, but Joe Harris had earned that contract extension. But again, now with that number in place, now when you talk about the big three and what could happen there, suddenly his cap number could become... It becomes a part of the equation when you say Joe Harris at X amount prevents or allows, affords, whatever, us to do X, Y, and Z. So it's not unlike, you know, it's not unlike the Spencer Dinwiddie piece in the sense of where's the best value of this player at these price points. So Joe Harris has to at least fall into that category. As you said, I want him to be back. It'll be interesting to see what kind of rumblings, if any, all indications from the Nets have gone one way. Fans maybe have a different perspective. So he'll be, that's an all eyes on for Joe Harris and what goes on this offseason. If you talk about, we said Blake Griffin being kind of the grit guy, and then Joe Harris is supposed to be, you know, the perimeter assassin. But then Jeff Green, to me, he was kind of the heart. You know, he was the steady hand on the wheel, you know, the proverbial Uncle Jeff. And he's been on, I think, 63 teams in a 30-team league over the course of his career. But he was, again, very important. And not unlike Blake Griffin, at that position, you start to look out at the landscape and say, what is it going to cost to have you back here versus what we could possibly bring in to replace you? And maybe the injury factor for the entire team as a whole. But I wonder how much age and concerns, because you brought out the season getting longer now going into next year. How does that play in to how the Nets look at some of the guys that were on the roster this year and the age that they're at and the potential for wear and tear? Because you can't afford to maybe have guys that are going to come up lame as you head down the stretch runs into the playoffs next season.
Yeah, so Jeff Green, that's going to be a whole other one, right? He's obviously a free agent. They brought him in at an amazing number this year, the minimum salary for the veteran minimum salary. And he definitely, I mean, way outplayed that. So that's going to be... Where does his value lie around the league? He's older. He was excellent this season. He's a guy that kind of every team needs, including the Nets. It's just like, you know, these 3-and-D, super versatile, switch-heavy kind of guy. And did he play himself out of Brooklyn because he played so well? Like, that's going to be a long question we need to answer. It's like, you know, a chicken or the egg thing here. Is Brooklyn able to make kind of a lot of different guys better? That's sort of been the theme this year, right? This is why we're talking about a lot of different guys, especially the cheap ones. Are good teams able to have their cheaper guys outplay their contracts because of the personnel? I think that's like the question I'm going to focus the most on Jeff Green, is to say he was great and he's another one of these guys that just is almost like, in some ways, the Brooklyn's the victim of their own success with some of these stories, right? It's because they just bring in guys. The guys are able to play really, stylistically, but also just like within the system. It's very good to be, it's a lot easier to be good at the things you do best Like, yep. And a guy like Jeff Green was a perfect example of that this season. And frankly, there's just not a million. This is like the most kind of coveted sort of guy around the league, right? It's like this big, big wing, can shoot threes, coming cheap, can guard a lot of different positions. Jeff Green fits the mold, and a lot of other teams are going to look at him and say, oh, that fits the mold for us too. So we'll talk about Jeff Green. That's, again, like I keep saying this, like this is crazy, man. This is literally every single guy. I have a bigger, a little more awkward question coming up here in a second about a guy. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar, very best protein bar on the market. Point, stop, case solved. Science is in. It's all good to go. It's Built Bar, 9 delicious flavors. These are not ice cream flavors, folks. This is an actual protein bar that is actually good for you. Cherry, mint brownie, coconut, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something in there for everyone. If you're not sure which one you want, just get a mix pack. Get two of each. You'll figure it out. You know, get a couple mix packs. By the end of it, you'll have tried out every single flavor. You have made your decision, and you'll be with Built Bar for life. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. Those are the stats you want. Order today, pick out the flavor you like, and you are good to go. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Now, are you referring to then one Bruce Brown when you talk about an interesting question? Okay, because we can move beyond him if you want, but can I give you my cliff notes on Bruce and tease people about your interesting player?
Sure, buddy, it's your show. Yeah, you're
thank you. Thank you. And by the way, and thanks for coming in. You know what I mean? When you try to book guests, you often create this atmosphere that we're actually on this show together. But Doug's just been a longstanding guest here.
First time, long time,
permanent. Liked him so much, I just kept him. The Bruce Brown thing, just quickly, because when you think about the guards, he actually does fall into the category. So it's twofold. Just like Jeff Green, he outplayed what his contract was maybe going to look like when the Nets first acquired him from Detroit. So now all of a sudden his value has gotten exponentially higher, and other teams around the league are going to look at him. And then the second piece to me is he may be a potential candidate for like Spencer Dinwiddie, a sign and trade opportunity, because now the guy has value. So depending on what maybe Bruce Brown's desires are and what the Nets' ability is going to be to retain him, etc., this could be a second opportunity that the Nets have to improve their team while actually moving on from quality players. Spencer Dinwiddie, Bruce Brown, you can say, hey, where do you want to be? What's the best situation for you? And that also helps us out with assets or players, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. They have the bird rights on him. He's a restricted free agent. He's another guy that, like you said, outplayed the contract by, I mean, many, many times over. So, but it was also kind of one of these like sort of case specific kind of guys, right? Like, was he such a perfect fit because of what of the environment and the players he was, you know, around, or that's why it looked so much better than it was. And we liked the Bruce Brown trade even at the time. So it's not that it's just, I don't think anyone expected this coming. I know I did not expect this out of Bruce Brown. I expected something good and different is what I expected. So, no, Bruce Brown, that was not the awkward one. It's awkward only in that, it's like awkward in the Jeff Green, Blake Griffin kind of thing, in that like it's just tough to get true measure of the actual value here. Now the awkward piece I was going to actually talk about was DeAndre Jordan, because this kind of gets left off the table, and I think we can actually talk at length about this, because I'm not sure the options are amazing, but if you look at this, I mean, in some ways, there's no question here because there's just kind of nothing to do about it. But on the same token, this is a guy who just got paid $10 million and is going to get paid guaranteed based, I'm just going to round up, $10 million over the next, $10 million each season over the next 2 seasons. And the guy did not sniff the court in any matchup over the course of the playoffs. And they played a couple of different teams. And so, like, sort of what is to be done about DeAndre Jordan here? Is he now just sort of a rah-rah guy who hits $10 million in your cap, and he was part of the he was just part of the process of what needed to happen to bring in bring in KD and Kyrie? Or is there something to be done? I actually have a lot of thoughts about DeAndre Jordan, but Surprisingly, for a guy who didn't sniff the court for months,
but the but
$10 million,
and the you said like the awkward thing about it is too, and the interesting thing when you look at this roster, most of these guys we're talking about are all guys that, man, they outplayed their value, and what are you going to do with them? Joe Harris has a bad playoff run, okay, fine, but no one is sitting here going, he'll probably never hit another three in his life. You know, DeAndre Jordan, it's about how can you. How can you offset what this player wasn't for you this season, but it's uniquely tied. Unlike, you know, if the big three went to Marks and said, we really want this or we like that, we prefer this on any of these players, you know, they'd move heaven and earth to figure it out and make it work. But we also know that DeAndre Jordan is uniquely tied to two of the stars, you'd say, fairly well. And then who knows what the relationship developed with James Harden over the course of this year. We can make the case that it wasn't very good, or at least they enjoyed debating basketball on the sidelines. But this is an interesting one. When you talk about satisfying your stars and understanding what that dynamic looks like, is DeAndre Jordan a talking point, potentially? Or is it like, yeah, you might as well just move on, to your point? No, he's our cheerleader. Don't worry about it. And there's so many facets to what what he is for the Nets, how the stars feel about him, and what it opens up depending on what those responses are to those questions, right? All of a sudden, that changes what you want to do with any number of these other players that we've already listed and anyone you may want to pursue, because his cap number is not insignificant.
Yeah, you'll be surprised. I'm actually going to make a decently strong case, I think. I've actually thought a lot about this one already, and I'm going to make a decently strong case for why the DeAndre Jordan thing isn't a total disaster. It doesn't look good, for sure, after the playoffs, but I have a somewhat strong case about why Nets fans shouldn't feel like so bearish on, now that it's kind of sunk cost anyway, about why... about what DeAndre Jordan can bring, because actually I do think there's something. I think there's a way we can look at this and sort of look glass half full. Wow. You know me, nothing but an optimist.
Don't ignore him. Look at this guy.
Yeah, nothing but an optimist around this stuff. No, but I think I can make a pretty strong-ish case for why DeAndre Jordan, that contract, at least for next season, doesn't look terrible. And I can't. It's gonna be harder for the third season here, but I think for next season, about why. DeAndre Jordan isn't a total disaster, even though we didn't see him on the court for months, and specifically in any playoff matchups, and even the one that we thought he might be there for. Okay, let me just roll through a couple of these last guys.
I was gonna say,
I'll just go lightning round on some of the other guys that we are going to talk about. Landry Shamet coming back on a team friendly contract for next season. That one actually might not be too much to talk about. Then the guys who are free agents and are varying levels of. Just kind of where they're going to bring him back. Tyler Johnson, we'll see. We'll probably pile these guys together. TLC is out there. He's going to be a free agent. I think a restricted free agent. Alize Johnson is non guaranteed over the next two seasons. But I think they have to meet a minimum number on him on the mid level exception. So those are those guys, and then like other guys like Chioza, Mike James, Reggie Perry is headed to the summer league. I will say there's one other guy. That is heading into a crucial season, and we're gonna spend a lot of time talking about him. Is Nick Claxton? Claxton is heading into his first restricted free agent round, and has made it clear. I'm pretty sure he's going to summer league, which I thought was interesting. And he's a guy that the Nets. I think this is gonna be a big question mark year for him too, around where he fits into the Nets' future. Because as much as we. Like kind of lauded this guy during the season and absolutely loved the defense and loved the energy and all that stuff. It was clear that there's like clear flaws in the game, right? Like he's far from a complete player right now. And most players are far from
blasphemy.
I mean, it's just true. It's like,
here's the problem. I mean, not the problem, but here's the interesting thing about him is that the current state of what the Nets are trying to accomplish. So it's you know, not unlike when you think about Jared Allen or any of these players. It's just about where are we right now and where is your value going to be? And as much as everyone probably listens to the podcast knows, I like to think about the short and the long term and having some young talent in the wings. It's just now that's going to be the question mark for the Brooklyn Nets is – does Nicholas Claxton or any young player, Reggie Perry and all these guys, do any of them represent someone that you think has long-term value for the organization? Or are these guys that you're going to try to sell high on and increase value? And maybe that's how you sweeten the pot on an off-season trade or on a move that you want to make to balance books. Again, so that does become an unfortunate factor that we've known now since the superstar signed, but it is a reality. And I guess Nicholas Claxton cannot be beyond that, especially when you look at how the end of the playoffs went for him, probably, if that's an indication of where the organization stood on him. But he'll be a fascinating one because there probably is going to be teams and opportunities to improve our roster short-term by foregoing some long-term potential.
Yeah, and so this is what I mean. It's crazy, man. Like, this is, it's when we really look at it, I mean, I'm not going to say that this team has the most questions in the league, because there's teams that have questions around their coaches and their superstars and all this other stuff, but really down to a man, the Nets have to look at the big board this summer and say, this is going to be a very, very busy summer in terms of what is trying to be put together, because they really have to evaluate pretty much on a contract level just about everybody, and on a future planning scale, they need to look top down and just say, what does the future look like for this team? This is what we're going to spend. Like I said, every single guy that we brought up here, we're going to spend an entire episode on and talk about all the different options, all the different ways it can spiderweb, all the ways like these things can cascade, the options, the replacements, all this stuff. We're going to get into it all next week. So I'm really, really excited to kind of look and start deep diving into this, because that's what we're going to do. The Nets are deep diving into their offseason. We're going to do the same exact thing. If you want to support the podcast, rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust. Appreciate everyone that's rolling through the offseason with us. We are going to break it all down as we roll through this week and the weeks over the summer. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
And we didn't even get into, throw this onto the docket as well, the impending NBA draft that'll be coming up at the end of July. And right now, you can be following the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It features the analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. The Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and potential trades for your favorite team, the Brooklyn Nets, throughout this week-long special event that's going on right now. You can search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-E. Say it with me. Odyssey. And as we head into this offseason and the Nets are going to have some contract discussions and moving parts, got to balance those books. And who's better to do that than a man that would say, now thank you, I would like you to crunch those numbers again, Michael Scott.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again Monday talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.